bearing their trespasses all. Praise the Lord. You know, it's amazing how many things that God is really doing in our lives or has done in our lives. And we have so much that God has given to us. I met with a group of men yesterday, and I was just blessed by in the information that I received from them, you know, in their lives, the things that that God actually has done in their lives. You know, we see individuals, and you know, they come to church, and they, we find out that they have given their lives to the Lord. But what we don't know is the things that that they have experienced. You know, the things that have brought them to Christ, you know, and things that God has delivered them from, you know, just like some things in your life, I guess, you know, things that God has delivered you from. And we have so much to be grateful and to be thankful to the Lord for. How many times that we came close to death, we could have died. And how many times God has delivered us. And of course, when we were unsaved, we said, boy, we were lucky. But now that we are in Christ, we recognize the hand of God. How many times He has delivered us. How many times He has helped us and set us free. How many times the angels have interceded to prevent us from dying. God is a good God. He's an awesome God. And when we study His Word and we look at His Word, we often get a lot of information. Like I give you a lot of information, and even when you read this wonderful Bible, you get a lot of information. We've shared with you before that the important thing, you know, is for you and me, the important thing in life is to see the purpose and the will of God accomplished. Amen. And we don't have to look very far to find out what the purpose of God is or what the will of God is. The purpose of God was stated in the very first book of the Bible, in the very first chapter of the Bible. You know, God told us exactly what His intent and His purpose was. He wanted to create a man. He wanted that man to be to be one with Him, in union with Him. And He wanted that man to experience what He is by having dominion over everything that God has created. That has never changed. It will not change, even though sometimes to us it seems like it has been delayed. It will not change, and the ultimate purpose of God is for that to be accomplished. And so everything else that has taken place from Revelation, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, is to allow that particular thing to come to pass. Your creation, God creating you, you being a created being, you were created so that you can fulfill that very purpose of God. Now, of course, we are all distracted. Many of us are distracted. We get distracted from from the onset, the first man got distracted. When he got distracted, of course, he lost what God declared or what God gave to him. God gave him everything. And so he lost everything. God said to him, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion over all the works of my hands. Be like me in the earth. Now, isn't that what every man is desiring in his or her, or his or her life, any mankind, anyone in mankind, meaning male and female? Isn't that what we desire? You know, to have dominion over all the works of God's hands? Because that's what God has called us for. That's what He created us for. And that's why we get so involved in all these superheroes when we look at, I love to look at and to be involved in sports. I like sports. Some people don't like sports. I like sports. And when I'm looking at sports, I like to see perfection in a sport. You know, I like to see a team that is perfect. A team that is doing everything right. If an individual is playing a sport, I like to see that individual is demonstrating really all the ability that God has given him or her. You know, I just love to see that. You know, and I recall when we had, I got interested in golf, not because I play golf, because I like watching golf. And I liked watching golf because I like watching Tiger Woods. I like what he did. You know, how he was good in his sport. You know, and of course, you know, he went through some situations and some circumstances in life. And because he's gone through those situations and circumstances in life, you know, some people are turned off by him because of what what took place in his lifestyle. You know. And it hasn't turned me off. I mean, I am not in agreement with what his lifestyle was. You know. But I was blessed by watching him play and what he did. I learned how to separate what he did in the game from his own personal life. And in the same way, in dealing with you, I do the same thing. I didn't always do that. I always looked at individuals and I would judge based on what I know about the person. And until one day when the Spirit of God began to deal with me in my personal life. You see, as long as I was praying and fasting and studying and seeking after God and living a clean life, as long as I was doing that, I felt that that's the reason why God was blessing me. That's the reason why God was protecting me from death. That's the reason why this was happening and why that was happening. Until I found out those who were not reading as much as I was, or were not studying as much as I was, or, you know, were not living as clean a life as I was. And then I found out that they were being blessed in the same way. So that caused me to have an issue with God. Well, you know, and I know none of you have done that, you know. I know no one here has ever got angry because the wicked was prospering. You know, and we say, well, you know, Lord, at least we are trying to do all that we could. Why are they being blessed? Why are they prospering? They're not being blessed. Why are they prospering? Why are they prospering maybe financially? Or, you know, you hear a lot of the statements. Well, why do good things or bad things happen to good people? Any of you ever asked those things? And none of you never said, well, why me, Lord? You know, why me? Why not the person down the street who is living this ungodly life? And I found out that God's way of thinking is not like ours. When I say like ours, I'm talking about how we grew up. The things that we were taught. God's thinking is not like that. As a matter of fact, a lot of the thinking that we have is diametrically opposed to the way how God thinks. So when we come into the gospel, we have a tendency a lot of times to bring some of those things into the gospel, into the kingdom with us. And when we bring those things into the kingdom with us, then we mix them with what God says. And then we begin to interpret God based on those things that we have seen and that we have brought into the kingdom. And as a result of that, if the Word of God is not really in its purified state, in its, the way how it's pure, if it's not presented in that form or that fashion, then it tends to not accomplish, you know, the thing. You know, that's what the scripture talks about, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, you know, all these different things that would enter in and they would choke the word. Not that the word of God is not powerful enough to overcome. The word of God is powerful enough to overcome. But these things hinder us from being able to relate to the word of God. It's not the Word of God so much that is being hindered as much as it is us that are being hindered. Amen. Because it's like the grace of God. You know, sometimes we think, for example, that, the reason why God is not moving in the church is because there is sin in the camp. And if that was the case, then God shouldn't move anywhere. Take me to a place where sin is not present. On the contrary, what the Bible says to us is that where sin abound, grace much more abound. Where sin abound, grace much more abound. So no matter how sinful a situation may appear to be, that is an opportunity for more grace to be present. And what is grace? Grace is God's ability working in a situation. God's ability working in you and me would allow us to do His will in a joyful manner. That means where grace is, when you are doing your responsibility, where grace is, there's an extreme amount of joy involved. Amen. That joy is also your strength. Amen. But sometimes we do works and we are doing it begrudgingly. We're doing it because we are too busy comparing. you know, others and situations, and we're comparing too many things, and we're doing what the Word says, but there is no joy to it. Which means that you might be doing it, but you may not be doing it from the standpoint of grace. You may be doing it from the standpoint of duty. Amen. And if you pray because it's your duty, if you fast because it's your duty, if you give because it's your duty, then, and there is no grace involved, then soon you are going to become a judge. You're going to begin to judge. You're going to be judge people, and you are going to end up in a situation where you will always be dissatisfied. And then what is going to happen eventually is that you're going to have to kind of find people who really love the Lord. And as soon as you find those people, you will find the same limitations and weaknesses. And then you're going to have to find another group. And you'll have to keep going from group to group to group, thinking that there's something wrong with every one of the groups that you're dealing with, when in reality, it's just something wrong with your approach. Anybody hear me? When God said to you and me, when God said in the beginning about you and me, that I am going to make mankind in my image, after my likeness, and he is going to have dominion over all the works of my hands. When God said that, God meant that. And every word that God speaks comes to pass.
Amen. Amen.
If God's grace was not sufficient, if His grace was not sufficient, then you and I would have never been saved. What saved you? The grace of God.
Amen.
The Bible says, for by grace we were saved. We say that we were saved by faith, but it was by grace, through the faith of God, that we were saved. It's through the faith of God, but it's by the grace of God, because without the grace of God, you know, the Bible says some interesting things. It says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seek after God. That's a statement that Isaiah made. He said, there is none righteous, not one. There is none that seek after God. Well, if there is none righteous and there is none that seek after God, how did the first person who became a believer, how did he become a believer? Or she, how did he or she become a believer? It was by the grace of God. And today, God is speaking to you and me, and he's wanting us to realize and understand that it's by the same grace that He saved us with, working through the same operation of faith, that is necessary for you and I to become everything that He has spoken from the beginning. Now, we have been sharing about this wonderful kingdom that God has placed on the inside of us. God has put this wonderful kingdom on the inside of each and every one of us. The intent, the kingdom of God is actually, what is the kingdom of God? What's the definition of the kingdom of God? Okay, producing the citizenry of people that would do what? That would reflect what? The nature and the culture of God, right? In other words, when anyone sees a person who has the kingdom of God on inside of him or her, then, and that kingdom is being demonstrated and being revealed, then what that person, what would be seen is the purpose and the will of God. Each and every one of us here who has the kingdom of God on the inside of us, we have the kingdom? The kingdom is in us, right? And the Bible says that the kingdom is righteousness, it's peace, it's joy. How many of you are righteous? How many of you are peaceful? How many of you are joyful? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Where is righteousness, peace, and joy found? In the Holy Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit found? Huh? He's in you? Okay, therefore the kingdom is in you, right? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Now we know the Holy Spirit is everywhere. But the Holy Spirit is placed on the inside of you. Okay? So the kingdom of God is placed on the inside of you. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's placed on the inside of you. Now, which means that what God said from the beginning, when he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion, you know, it's partly fulfilled already. It's partly fulfilled. Why? Because the kingdom, which is found in the Spirit of God, is on the inside of people sitting in this room. Amen. The kingdom of God is inside of you. The kingdom of God is inside of you. The Spirit of the living God is upon you. Amen. Say, the Spirit of God is upon me. Yes. It's upon me. It's upon you. And therefore, if the Spirit of God is upon you and within you, he has also anointed you to do what? What has he anointed you to do? What is the anointing on the inside of you? What is the purpose of that anointing? Well, go back to his original purpose. What is his original purpose? To have dominion over all the works of his hands. Is the Spirit of God in you? Yes. Are you positioned then to have the kingdom of God and the will of God to be done in and through your life? Are you positioned there? Yes. You are positioned in that manner? Yes. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You are positioned in the manner, in a place where the kingdom of God, the Spirit of God is upon you, is within you. The Spirit of God, what God said that he was going to do, half of it has already been accomplished. The Spirit of God is in me. I am like God. Could you think like that? Let me tell you something. You see, what God has crowned man with, God has crowned man with what? Glory and honor. God has crowned man with glory and honor. We've read this in Hebrews chapter 2. What is man that you're mindful of him? He said, but it goes on to say, but you have crowned him with glory and honor. So, are you crowned with glory?
Yes.
Which means then, if you're crowned with glory and honor, honor simply speaks of position.
Amen.
God has taken his life and has placed his life on the inside of the people that are sitting in this room. God has placed life. The life of the one who has created the entire universe lives on the inside of those that are seated in this room. And standing. Is that true? Therefore, you are positioned. That means you are crowned with honor.
Hallelujah.
Honor is position. You are crowned with honor. You are positioned with God on the inside of you, ready to do the purpose that God gave from the beginning. From the beginning, He said, let us make man, let this man be crowned with honor and glory, and let this man have dominion over all the works of my hands. The problem is that we don't believe that. We don't believe that we are seated in heavenly places, even though the Bible says it, but we don't believe it. Why? Because there is a statement that is being said in the Bible that just does not seem to line up with what is actually taking place in my everyday life. So if that's happening, then I have a problem. I'm thinking that one or the other is not true. I'm not thinking that maybe I'm missing the understanding of it. I am royalty. For us, that's a whole lot of words. And if it's just words, and we're not mixing the word with the spirit that would cause us to believe and manifest that, then we continue. You know, it's a truth that God is in you. It's a truth that you are royalty. It's a truth. Whether you're living the truth out or not is another story, but it is a truth. Why is it a truth? It's a truth because the one who has declared it cannot lie. That's why it's true. It's not true because we are living it or we're not living it. It is true because He has declared it. Now, if I don't receive it or accept it or understand that truth, that's where the enemy comes and he steals that thing from me. And then I continue to walk out this life with the information that I have from the Bible, but really looking at that information from the circumstances and the situations, the way of life, the way I am, the way things are, that's what we see. And so we go through our lives as believers, you know, and we have a form of the godliness because the Spirit of God is in here, but we are lacking the power thereof to carry out the things that God has said that we can carry out. And enough is enough. I mean, like that, you can only go so long like that. Only so long. You know, you know how we are. The minute that you know, we're doing things and the minute that it's not going the way that we think, you know how we get upset? That's why we can't go too long in this manner. You are already positioned.
Amen.
You are already honored. See, that's why to understand that your past, present, and future sins are already taken care of.
Amen.
That's why when God looks at you and me, God does not look at you and me where we are. He looks at us with what he has declared. Let us make James in my image, in our image, after our likeness. That's why God can't see James as a poor old sinner saved by grace. God sees James where God declares. Now, the problem is, where does James see James? Because if I see me, you know, not where God has seen me, then I begin to act and function where I am. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So I behave like a person who does not have the living God inside of me. Are you understanding? Can you get this picture? You are already honored. God has crowned you with honor. Honor means position. If President Obama came into this church right now, what seat would you give him? Huh? In the back seat? you mean you will not give honor where honor is due?
Yes, honor.
Okay, so where would you see them?
I know.
See, I am not talking about what your political stance is, whether you're Democrat or Republican, whether you believe this or that. I'm asking about honor. If President Obama comes in here, I would feel honored that he chose to come to our assembly. And I will give him the highest seat. I'll put him on display. It's honor. Now, it will not prevent me from preaching what I believe the Word of God has said. I will still declare the Word as I always declare it. Whether he agrees with it or not does not matter. What matters is what God has said to me to declare. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You see, so when I pray for my president. Because it's a mandate from God to do so. And if he comes into my presence, I will esteem him with the highest respect. Why? Because the Word of God demands that. You know, when I'm writing, you know, a lot of people use the computer and say, like, I write. I have all kinds of notes. I have notebooks after notebooks after notebooks that I would study stuff, and I would write stuff, and I would write stuff. And you know, when I'm writing, you know, I always was taught that when you write a person's name, you use a capital letter. You know, so if I'm going to say, John said, I'll put big J, John said. Right? And you know, I had a dilemma once, that when I came to Satan, I was wondering, should I give him a capital letter or not? And that may not be anything to you, but to me, you know, I'm writing, and I come, and Satan said, so, should I put a small S or a big S? You see, now, the way how I feel about him, I should put a small S. But because of what God has said, you see, that we don't speak evil of dignitaries. Is Satan a dignitary? Yes, he is. Isn't he a capital name? Isn't he a name of a person? So if I'm writing Satan, should I put a capital S or a small S? Well, I put a big S. Because I'm giving him that honor or that respect. It doesn't mean that I'm in agreement with anything that he says. Are you following me?
Amen.
You are already honored. And when I look at you, I see you as honored. I see you as positioned in Christ Jesus. I see you as seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I see you as a finished work in Christ Jesus. Now, if I don't see you like that, then I don't have the ability to treat you right. That's why I'm a pastor. That's why you ought to give me the highest respect in this place. Whether you agree with everything that I do or not. Only because of what God has said. So when you do that, what you're doing is that you are honoring God. Now I may tell you to go out and steal something. But you know better than that, because all along you're going to be honoring God.
Yes, amen.
Are you following me? Are you understanding me? I have to see you in that position. You are a child of the King. You are royalty. That is who you are. Regardless of what you have done or what you, your behavior, or I still must treat you the way that God has declared. This is what God has said about you.
Amen.
I think honor is something that God has crowned each and every one of us. He's crowned us with honor. We are in a position of honor. You need to make up in your mind and in your heart today that you would treat every believer as a person of honor.
Amen. Amen.
And see, that is the position the Bible says that you sit in heavenly places. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look, either the Bible is not true or it is true. If the Bible says that you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then that is what the Bible means. Now, if the Bible said to me, one day, you and I are going to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then now I look futuristic. I'll say, well, okay, one day this is going to happen. However, the Bible says you sit in that place now.
Amen.
So I have to accept that and believe that. I have to accept that about you, and I have to accept that about me. Is that all right?
Amen.
You see, you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where does Christ sit?
At the right hand of the Father.
At the right hand of the Father. Does he sit in a throne? Yes. Whose throne does he sit in? His Father's throne. So if he sits in his Father's throne at the right hand of the Father, okay, therefore, if we are seated in heavenly places with him, where are we? We are seated in the position of honor with God. Now, whether you believe that or you don't believe that is your issue. All I know is that that is what I've read in God's Word. And God is not a man that he should lie. So that's who you are. That's where you're seated. Okay, so he says, let us crown man with honor. So you and I, at one time we had lost that position. Remember, when Adam was given that position and he fell, you know, he lost that position. But since then, the Bible says that Jesus came, and he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That which was lost. Have you read that in the scriptures? Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Now, what was lost? Huh? Everything. Man lost himself. Man lost his position. Man lost his relationship with God. He lost everything. So when Christ came to seek and to save everything that was lost. Christ didn't just come to save you and me. He came to save what we lost. What did we lose? We lose our place with God. We lost our place with God. We lost our relationship, our fellowship, our authority, our dominion. We lost all those things. But now Jesus came, and now he has given that back to us. Have you received that?
Yes.
So now you are crowned with honor. You are positioned correctly. With honor and with glory.
Amen.
You are crowned with glory. Now, here is the process. Jesus came, and when he came, you know, he spent 30 years on the earth in preparation for the appointed time. When the appointed time came, he went to John the Baptist, and he was baptized in the Jordan. And John said, you know, this doesn't seem right. I shouldn't be baptizing you. But he says, no, you have to, so that all righteousness will be fulfilled. He wasn't being baptized like you and I are being baptized for the same reason. He was being baptized to fulfill all righteousness. So when he was baptized, then it says, now this is what it says, and then the Spirit of God came and rested upon him and did what? Remained on him. Because he was told, John the Baptist was told, that whom you see the Spirit of God resting and remaining on, that is the Messiah.
Yes.
Right? So when the Spirit came and rested on Jesus and remained on him, that was the sign to John the Baptist that, hey, this is the one. This is the Messiah. Now that same Spirit that remained on him drove him into the wilderness so that he would be tempted of the devil. Look at me. He was not drove in the wilderness to be tested by God. No. I think I need to see it on this side. So, you folks, look at me. He was not driven in the wilderness to be tested by God.
No.
Right? You know how often when we go through stuff, we say, well, God was just testing me. I wonder if we just say stuff because it has been religiously said before. Why would God need to test me? For what? To find something out about me? He created me. He knows me. He knows every, he knows decisions that I'm going to make before I even made them. God doesn't need to test me. God's Spirit came upon Jesus, drove him in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God, because God does not tempt anyone. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does God tempt anyone. So now when we come in, when Jesus went into the wilderness and he was tempted, God was with him and was within him, because no matter what you do in this life, you are always going to be tempted and tried. Just don't make the mistake of thinking who is tempting you and who is trying you. Well, God just took me through that just to see if I would really stand. Well, was that for God's sake, or was that for your sake? Was it for God to see if you would really stand, or maybe it's for you to see if you would really stand? It's not for God. It's not for God, is it? Because God knows what you're going to do, whether you do it or not. Someone said, well, you know, when Abraham was in the mountain, it says, and God tested him. Yes, it says that, and God tested Abraham. God tested Abraham. And we need to understand our covenant. That Abraham did not have a covenant. Abraham was just being brought into a place with God. He was being brought into a place with God. When Abraham reached that place with God, you and I inherited that stuff. It's what Abraham has done that has allowed Christ and his covenant to come in existence so that you and I just flow in that covenant. We are in what God has given us. So anyway, I don't know why I'm going that way. But he said that God led, the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. When Jesus was led into the wilderness, he experienced the temptation of the devil. He overcame that with the help of the Spirit of God that was within him. When that was over, he came out of the wilderness. The Bible says he was filled with the Spirit, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, after his temptation, he's coming out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. So now he comes out in the power of the Spirit, and he goes to, you know, this is where the miracles are going to begin to take place. There were no miracles done before that. Even though Jesus walked the earth 30 years before, no miracles took place. None recorded. And so, at 30 years old, now he comes out, he goes to his own hometown. And he says to them, when he goes there, the book is given to him, the scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, is given to him. He opens the scroll, and the Bible says he went as was his custom. So he would go when he was growing up, he would go to the synagogue every week. Right? And so now, he goes to the synagogue, at this particular day, as it was his custom, they gave him the scroll, he opened the scroll, and he began to quote, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me." And then he declares what he was anointed for. That same anointing that was upon the head is symbolized in the Old Testament when the anointing was poured on Aaron's head as the high priest, and it flowed down to his garment, and the whole body was anointed. Christ was our head. He is the one that was anointed. Now the anointing from his head has been taken and has been placed on the inside of everyone who becomes a believer. That anointing. Now you are now positioned. In other words, you are now honored. But now you are also anointed. So you have honor and glory. You have honor and glory. If you want to wait until Christ comes back, or when you get to heaven to get the glory, you're going to miss out all that God has provided for you for this time here on earth. You are anointed with honor and glory. You are positioned. You are in Christ. You are positioned. And the anointing of God is in you. 1 John says, you have the anointing in you. And you don't need any man to teach you. The anointing that is in you teaches you everything.
Amen.
You are anointed. You have honor. And you have glory. You are positioned in God, and you have the Spirit of God, the glory of God. Until I believe that and begin to practice that, I am going to walk below my privilege. Honor and glory. Honor and glory. Honor and glory. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory, and the power. You have the anointing. Now, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said to the disciples, after he was resurrected, he says, now go into the upper room and wait there until you are endued with the power from on high.
Yes.
They went to the upper room. They waited. 10 days later, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, in one mind, one accord. The Holy Spirit came in, sat on each of them, and each of them became filled with the Holy Spirit. They were in Christ. They were in a place of position, a position of authority. And now they have the glory of God on the inside. Now, that's you.
Amen.
My prayer is for you and me both to begin to receive that, accept that. And it's happening basically in my life, because I'm saying it so often. You know, I'm saying this stuff, I'm talking about this stuff so often, that every time now that something that seems impossible, you know, shows up, now I'm beginning to question the thing. Before, I would always question me, because I would say, well, yeah, but let's look at the reality of it. Let's look at what it really is. Now, you know that can't happen. You know that hasn't happened. You know that, you know. I used to look at everything like that. But because I'm continuing in the Word, because I'm hearing it, I'm speaking it, I'm declaring it, I'm studying it, I'm looking at it, because I'm seeing it, the Holy Spirit is taking a more active role in my situation. So now the problems that normally will cause me to shrink back, the problems are causing me to look at the problem itself and begin to question the problem. Now, do you have a right to be here? So before, when something would happen in my body and I would get fearful, now, because of all this stuff that I'm saying and saying and looking and studying and reading, because now that when that stuff comes, I'm questioning, do you have a right to be here? Do you have a right to be here? I'm telling you, it's got to happen. It's got to happen. If it's God's word, it's got to happen. Oh God, you know, now I'm beginning to understand what the Bible really means when it says, if you could believe, everything is possible. See, because when that happened before in times past, even though I know what the Bible said, I did not really believe it. But you know, because I keep saying it and saying it, you may get upset with me. I'm preaching and teaching the same thing over and over and over. I don't get upset with it. I teach the same thing over and over and over until it manifests. When it manifests, then I'm going to stop. See, well, you know, we need something different. You probably do, and I will look into that. I will make sure that there are others to give you some of the other things that you need. But for me, this has to happen, because I will not rest until we experience the same thing. You know, Tuesday night's study, we didn't have any word. People were happy because we didn't have any message on Tuesday night. We just had a very nice water baptism. Didn't we? You thought it was fantastic? Yeah, I thought it was myself, but I didn't want to exaggerate. I didn't want the rest of the congregation to think I was exaggerating. But I felt the same way. You know why I felt the same way? Because of the anointing of God.
Yes.
that was present. You know, I recalled, it wasn't too long ago with the you heard the testimonies, right? You remember Rebecca's mom got up and testified, right? I remember when Tuesday she came to the Bible study, and she was here in the Bible study, and at the end of the study, we were walking out, Barbara and myself. I think Barbara was talking with her. Barbara was talking with her and Saray, and we were getting ready to leave. And I looked at her and I just saw that, you know, she just needed something. So then, you know, she began to, you know, tell us and share, you know, what was going on, you know, and I'm listening. You know, and you know the old usual, well, we believe God. Yeah, you know, we say that sometimes, but we believe God. But just as we said that, we believe God, there was this authority that was present. An authority was present. You know, and I said, let's pray right now. You know, so the four of us just got together right then and we prayed. You know, but you know what? You know, when I was praying, you know, or after we prayed, you know, I sensed that authority that was there, just saying, it's done. You know, and you know, we just said to her, we want you to go, and we want you to go lay hands, you know, on your mom now. You just go and do it, you know. Now, listen, before you get the wrong idea, I am not saying this to tell you that because we prayed. I don't want you to get that impression. If you get that impression, then you're getting a very immature impression. That is not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the release of God's authority. When the anointing is released with the word of God, there comes a manifestation that will carry out whatever it is God is saying. We left, she went where she went, you know, we didn't call her up to find out, you know, if anything happened or what, but we just knew that God spoke. Amen. That God did what he had to do. When she came in, she was testifying, she was sharing, you know, and I was listening carefully to her testimony, and I heard her said this. I heard her said, you know, that just when she was there in the hospital, she was not feeling good, and she was taking the opportunity to share with everybody, you know, but she was not feeling good, and then suddenly she just felt this surge of she was well. What was it? It was simply the release of God's authority, his power, and his anointing. Now, many times, I've prayed for people. Many times I prayed for people, and I prayed the word. And you have too. We've prayed the word of God. And I walk away and I say, well, I prayed the word. I did what I could do. I prayed the word. We talked, you know, we prayed the word. We said what the word is. We prayed it. You know, but somehow it's still a kind of, it'd be nice for the manifestation of that thing to happen. Even though we prayed, it's still that. There are other times when you pray, and that's it. You know it took place. No matter what, you know it took place. It's a difference. It's a difference. Just like it's a difference in here when you sit down and you listen to me speak the word of God. You sit down and you get a lot of information. and you do the very same thing. A lot of you do very same thing with the information that you get. You do the same thing with the information that you get when you read a book, a natural book. You do the same thing. You know what you do with some of the information that you do when you get information from a natural book? I tell you some of the things that you do with it. One of the things, you ignore it. Come on, look at me and smile. Haven't you read books and you get information and you say, oh, that was good information, but you just ignore it? You didn't do anything with the information? And then other times you read something, and because you're really interested in that particular subject, you got the information, and now you want to kind of put this to work because you want to see this work. You know what I'm talking about? Well, it's the same thing that we do with the Word of God. Amen. Sometimes we apply it, sometimes we just take it as information. But you've got to continue in it. You've got to continue in it. You've got to continue in it so that the anointing, that Word and that Spirit. We talked about it last week. Is it getting down past the cares of the world and all those things that would try to hinder it from getting to the good soil? When it gets to the good soil, you don't have to be concerned, because once it hits that good soil, confidence is there, authority is there, you are just convinced once it gets to that good soil. Honor and glory. Amen. Honor and glory. You are already positioned, and now the kingdom of God is already in you. You've got to continue to let the honor and glory bring about what God has declared.
Amen.
You know who you are?
Amen.
For as much as you think in your heart, so are you.
Amen.
So what are you ready to do? Are you ready to just say, well, I tried that. I tried that, but it's not working. I hear that all the time. I did everything I could. Have you? I hear it all the time. So consequently, because I've done everything I could, then it leaves two things. It means that maybe the thing that I'm believing, maybe it's incorrect. Or maybe it doesn't really have the power to do what it said it would. No, my friend. You and I are crowned with honor and glory. You are positioned. God is in you, and you are in God. The anointing that is in you is the thing that will bring everything to pass from the kingdom of God.
Amen.
It will bring it to pass. You and I have to be concerned about that connection. And the only way that I could tell you that that connection is made is in meditation. If this book of the law does not depart out of your mouth, but you would meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein, then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Now, you know, I tell you the truth, the enemy is going to fight you day and night. You will not, he does not want you. He does not want you to meditate on this. Meditation involves musing, speaking back to God, studying, continuing, making musical notation of, all that stuff. You see, that's all the stuff that normally you do or you participate in church. That's what church is all about. You're in church and you listen to the songs that the musicians are singing. Do you listen to the songs? Do you listen to the words? It's a form of meditation. No, we just listen. There is no way that those words can get down into my spirit and not stir me. See, that's why when it comes to worship, you don't need anyone to tell you about worship. Isn't that true? How many of you have been filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay, when you were filled with the Holy Spirit, what was the next words that came out of your mouth when you were filled with the Holy Spirit? Huh? All right, let me put it this way. Has God ever blessed you in anything? What's the next word, set of words that come out of your mouth when God blesses you with something?
Thank you.
Huh?
Thank you.
What's the word?
Thank you.
What's the next words? Huh? Thank you may be the next word, but what are the next group of words? Thank you. I'm hearing it. Huh? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I have never once heard anyone say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Do you know why? Because when it's really Jesus functioning, the Spirit of God functioning on the inside of you, the Bible says when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to give glory to God. He's going to testify. Jesus says He's going to take of mine and show it to you. So when you receive something, the first thing you say, thank you, Jesus. That's why you say, thank you, Jesus. Has anyone ever said, thank you, Holy Spirit? You know, I'm talking about the spontaneous action. When God does something on the inside of you, what do you say? Thank you, Jesus. Some people think that we say that because that's what we were brought up on. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we think, no, we say, thank you, Jesus. You know, because the Holy Spirit and the kingdom that stirs or does anything up inside of you is going to testify of me, Jesus said. Yeah. Says He's going to take of mine and show it to you. That's why we keep saying, thank you, Jesus. Are you understanding me? So that when you begin to meditate and the things that are on the inside, when you begin to meditate on them, when you begin to meditate on them, and now you're going to have a response, you know, you just get beside yourself in wanting to thank Jesus. So when you begin to worship, you are thanking Jesus, whether you're doing it like this, or you're jumping, or you're running around the church, or you, whatever you're doing, it's something that is stirring on the inside.
Thank you, Jesus.
You with me here?
Yes. Amen.
How can we fool someone? How many times someone has given you something, some kind of gift, something that you really, really need, and then you turn around and you say, thank you, Brother Raymond. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brother Raymond. Well, I'm happy, you know. I'm really smiling on the inside. But you know, this is how I am. I'm very conservative. So thank you, Brother Raymond. Nah, I don't care how sophisticated you are. You're going to show some form of emotion. Thank you. Even if you don't say, thank you. You know, you don't want to do it like that, you know, because you figure that that's extremely emotional. But you may say, thank you. Is that true or is that not true? It's true. Even, you know, that's why sometimes when you see sophisticated people run around the church, and you know God is really in action, you know. Well, you know, that's not my style. Remember one day, the first time I went into the second time I went to a church, the church was in River Avenue. It was a Spanish church, but it was an English service that was taking place at the time. And I went into the church, and I remember the minister called me out. He said, God has called you to be a minister of the gospel. Come up here. And I went up and I said, God has called me to be a minister of the gospel? He said, I'm going to pray for you. Lift your hands up. No, lift your hands up. Lift your hands up. He laid his hands on me and prayed. I was very nervous. That was the second time I was in the church. I knew one person there. The next thing you know, I'm dancing around doing this Indian dance. And I'm making this Indian sound. You know when they say, you know those sounds? And I'm spinning, and suddenly I hit the deck. Boom! You know, you can tell me that God wasn't present.
Yeah, come on now.
You can tell me that, you know, because I was sophisticated. Especially in that group when I went there, because I didn't know anyone there. I was very sophisticated. And not only that, I never experienced or heard any of this type of stuff. You know, I was a Catholic. I was a good Catholic. I used to go to confession and First Communion and confirmation. I was a good Catholic. You know, we good Catholics know when we sin to go to confession. And when I went in that experience, it was something completely new. You know, next thing you hear me saying, thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! I know that when the devil comes upon you, you're not going to thank Jesus for anything. That was way back then. I was just newly saved. You know, so, you know, listen, what I'm saying is that when the Spirit of God makes connection on the inside, you can't stand still. Listen, you cannot even live ungodly. Nah, you didn't hear that one. You didn't hear that one. Listen, you cannot even live ungodly. Is that right? When the Spirit of God is flowing on the inside of you, you cannot live ungodly. You know, because the minute you live ungodly, your mind and your conscience begin to prick you. I know I shouldn't be doing this, you know. And you start to fight it. I know I shouldn't be doing this. Stand with me, if you will. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours. I just want, before we close, just to take about a few more minutes, and just want to give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to do several things for us.